much about.
And I'm telling you, we need to have the spirit of awakening and getting out of our trance now. Now is the time. Hear those war drums. Get me ready. The sleeping giant needs to awaken.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy.
Four, five, six.
V.I.G. Ah!
You look at these youngsters and think, how much do I really know about them? This teenage generation, this mass of children, what are they really like? About all you can do is think of the stories you've read about teenagers. The stories calling them hellions, young hoodlums, zoot suitors, dope addicts, the beat generation, the lost generation. Are those charges true? You don't know. But several weeks ago, CBS radio reporters scoured the country, searching through the baffling private world of teenagers, recording their unrehearsed thoughts and feelings. I've heard those recordings, and I would like you to hear them too.
And now,
how about that whole deal?
Our feature presentation.
How about that whole deal indeed? Hey, Snoozy, what's up?
I reject that. It's true. I'm a little snoozy today.
How many snooze alarms? How many times do you hit the snooze alarm?
Usually none. I set one alarm right next to me, and then another alarm across the room in case I don't get up. But today I pressed that snooze button four times.
And you usually hop out of bed on that first alarm?
I usually do. Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
What motivates you to do that? That's hard to do. First alarm, man, is hard.
Because I don't want to get up out of another dead sleep and walk across the room and turn it up. I'd rather get up and go straight down the hallway to the bathroom.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. You've got an incentive to not be woken up a second time.
Yes.
I don't do the snooze, but on my phone, I set three alarms.
Oh.
So I set one at 4:20, one at 4:30, one at 4:40.
You know, you can just press snooze and it's 10 minute intervals.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess I didn't know that. I guess I just, I might have thought of that at the beginning, but my fear was that attempting to hit the snooze, I would accidentally turn it off. So this way, at least I know I have another alarm set, even if I snooze and blow it.
What is the sound of your alarm?
Well, it's funny you should ask. The first alarm that goes off is the Chipmunk song. The Chipmunk song.
The second, Christmas one?
Yeah. That's the first thing I hear every single morning is the Chipmunk
song. Of course
it is.
Okay. Okay.
The second alarm that goes off is the Charlie Brown Christmas song, Christmas Time Is Here. And the third one, I don't get to the third one very often, but I think it might be the waitresses. I think it might be Christmas wrapping.
Wow. That is something.
Okay. Why is that? So here's the first thing I hear every morning at 4:20.
Nope.
That's the first, and it wakes me up, and it makes me so happy.
Wow. Mine is just the synthesizers from Depeche Mode, But Not Tonight. And it's so relaxing that sometimes I'm like, I'm just going to listen.
Go back to sleep.
Yeah, it's not, I need to change that. I need to.
I have the rock clock.
What is that?
It's the rock yelling at you to wake up.
No.
Oh, really?
It's the best thing ever.
I need to check that out. How motivating.
I think that might be a fun phone topic sometimes to find out what people have as their sound to wake them up, because I bet there are two camps of people. There are those who need to be yelled at, who need it to be abrasive and jarring, and then there are those who kind of want to ease into it.
Right.
Like you, where it's something that wakes you up, but wakes you up slowly and gently.
Yes.
That's interesting. The rock clock. I got to hear some of that.
I do too. I was not prepared for the chipmunks. I'm not going to lie. That I was not prepared for.
Well, it's I love them, and I love it, and it just makes me happy. And
well, that's good.
Yeah, you might as well start the day with a smile.
It's true.
Got a big program for you today. Do I have time? Yeah, I have time to tell you this story. You probably saw this. Allie, you're pretty plugged in. This is a lady who has made the news named Taylor Gray Meyer. She is trying to get a job in the sports industry. Have you followed her story? She's 31
I don't
years old.
Think so.
She lives down in San Diego. She has a master's degree in sports management, and she has been, as I mentioned, trying to get a job in sports. She's been applying all over the place, but in particular, her first choice is to work for the San Diego Padres because she loves baseball and they are local. Now, you may read between the lines and come to a different conclusion than this article in the New York Daily News did, but let me just give you some of the facts. She has applied for 30 jobs with the San Diego Padres and has been rejected for all of them. She has applied to sell tickets. She has applied to do lots of different things around the park at all levels. And she gets rejected every time she applies for a job, and she feels like she is qualified.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the only reason she's in the news right now is because she got an email from the team inviting her to attend a job combine, which is a hiring fair that the Padres are throwing, where you pay $495, and you are told in the email that you will have a chance to meet employers and have a chance at one of 50 jobs they are looking to fill.
Oh.
Now, she'd already applied for 30 of those 50 jobs.
Oh, no.
And it really, really upset her that now they were trying to entice her to pay $500 to come apply for jobs that she had already applied for.
That's pretty gross.
She said, I had just had it. I felt like in this market especially that employers, the Padres, were preying on job seekers who were desperate for jobs. So she sat down and she fired off a response to the Padres and said, after careful review, I must decline. I realize I may be burning a bridge here, but in the spirit of reciprocity.
One more.
You say it.
No, one more. One more. Reciprocity?
Yes, thank you.
One more.
Just do it.
One more.
Reciprocity. Right? In the spirit of reciprocity, I would like to extend you a counter offer to suck my
boom.
No. Awesome.
And by the way, I don't even think she has one. She continued to blast the team's hiring process, detailing her saga of rejection with heavy sarcasm. Let's talk about why I wasn't a good fit with your organization. Was it my extensive education that made me less of a fit? Now you're asking me to pay $500 and that will allow me to overcome that? Was it my graduate work in sports commerce, being a law student working toward becoming an agent, my past experience overseeing the execution of national and international events? Was it my previous internship with Major League Soccer that I got my start in professional sports at the age of 15, volunteering in a minor league ballpark? Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm not the best fit for your company. But here's a nice fit. My foot in your ass.
Wow.
She said, I got to admit, it felt good to send the email. I was laughing while I did it. I didn't intend it to be mean. It was nothing but cathartic. She knew that the Padres weren't going to hire her, but at that point, she was just at the end of her row. Well, what do you suppose happened next?
I would assume the Padres called her and said, want to come in and chat?
Not a word
no?
from the Padres.
Oh.
However, somehow her email did go viral, and she is starting to hear from people all over the country, including the Cleveland Gladiators, Arena Football League, that is interested in hiring her. She says she has been contacted by the commissioner of a sports league, several baseball general managers, some CEOs for other organizations, and has heard from the NHL and the NFL for interviews.
Wow. Awesome.
Apparently, some people think that she sounds like a little bit of a go-getter, and they like her. They like her spunky attitude. No word from the Padres, by the way. She says she's not embarrassed. She has no regrets in sending the email. They may not have hired me, and I'm sorry I burned a bridge with them, but undoubtedly they did help me tremendously, and I hope it leads to something great. So there you go. Does she seem like a reasonable, nice woman who's just the end of a rope, or does she seem like a troublemaker and you're not surprised she didn't get hired because she was annoying?
Time will tell.
Yeah.
But yeah, I probably wouldn't have sent that email. I would have just brushed it off and moved on. I also probably wouldn't have applied for 30 jobs at an organization.
Maybe 15,
17 tops. And then just said, you know what? They don't want me. There's something about me that
maybe
they
the
don't
Chargers
like
will take me.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, it does seem it is the most I've ever heard of anyone applying for jobs at one organization.
Yeah.
The most different jobs. And I think you're right. I think she probably could have gotten the notice a little bit earlier. But maybe it was just her dream organization. She loves baseball
possible.
And she lives in San Diego. There aren't a lot of other choices, you know, at that point. But
that is true.
Anyway, I wish her well, and I hope she gets a nice job. And I hope I never again have to say the R word.
Say it again.
Say it. One more. Just one more.
Come on.
Never mind. Let's talk about today's all new show, shall we?
Is there a more fun way to say that?
No, there isn't. As
Come
a matter
on.
Of fact,
one more,
please.
Prophets of Rage played last night at the Whiskey. Our own Dave the King of Mexico was the man on the scene. He's going to bring us a full review of the show. Shut up. Also, the great William Shatner, the captain himself, will be on the bridge. He'll be joining us at 7:30 this morning. Andy Samberg, star of Brooklyn Nine-Nine and this new pop star, Never Stopping movie, is so funny. I love this guy so much. We're having him back on the program today. We're going to tell you about the Licky Brush, which is everybody's favorite new Kickstarter.
Worst.
Now you can also lick your cat the way your cat licks you. Right?
No.
That is going to be awesome. We had a conversation yesterday at this time about the kid who fell in the gorilla pit. And a lot of people have been very critical of those parents for allowing that to happen. Well, I heard from several listeners yesterday who said, hey, when I was a kid, my parents turned their back for a second. You won't believe what I got into. And I have a story where it happened to me, too, where I almost died doing something. And my parents probably would have been blamed for being bad parents, although they weren't. So anyway, we're going to take your calls on that story today. We also have more tickets for Prophets of Rage. You can see them this Friday night at the Roxy. We'll give those away
Palladium.
For you.
Palladium.
Palladium. Right. Exactly. Yes. And a whole bunch more, including Ralph Graham and the Showbiz Beat. That's next on K-Rock. Right? Who's with me?
I am. Ralph doesn't have his earphones on just yet.
And
there they are.
Here's Ralph Garman.
Well, Bean's in a hurry, I guess, again.
He's got
a lot
to
do. He's got to look up reciprocity and work it out phonetically.
You mock me without the ease in which you say that word.
Because it's just a word that people use in English.
Look.
Say it again, Bean.
I'm not going to say it again, but look, everybody has words that they have trouble with. Everybody has.
Everybody?
Most people, I think, have a word.
I thought it was everybody. Is it everybody? Is it most people? Is it some people?
I deferred to your question and downgraded it to most people. Yeah, there are some people who can pronounce every word flawlessly.
Donald Trump.
Right. He's got the best words.
He's got the best words. Ralph, do you have any word that you stumble on every single time it comes up and you have trouble reading it?
No.
Really?
Really?
I do.
What do you have?
It's that outdoor...
Just say it. Say what it is.
Amphitheater? Amphitheater. There's no L, though. Amphitheater. Amphitheater.
No.
No?
Amp.
Amp.
Fear.
Amphitheater.
Ter.
Amphitheater.
Yes. Amphitheater.
Okay. But doesn't it sound better with an L? Amphitheater?
No.
A little bit. Amphitheater.
No, it doesn't sound a little bit better.
Amphitheater.
Not amphitheater.
So good. Amphitheater.
Did you say amplifier?
Yeah.
Is that where it's coming from?
Is that not right?
That's right. But is that where the amphitheater is coming from?
I think
because
so.
Because amplifier.
I think
it?
So.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chip, do you have a word?
Not that I can recall. No, I can speak pretty good.
Yeah,
I can't do that. I can't roll my R's. So I have that.
She got that.
But I can say reciprocity.
Well done.
And amphitheater.
That hurts me.
How dare you.
Well, look at that. Look at Chip using English words.
Right? We're not used to that from that side of the control board.
Speaking words. The people
should I turn
speak.
Ralph's mic off if you guys want me to give you the full Kevin experience?
Please do.
It'd be good. So, and I'm going back to Britain. All right, let's get on with the showbiz news. Hey, happy Superman Day, everybody. Do you want to get that out of the way first? I know a lot of people are having your... Superman parties today and your Superman celebrations. So I just want to give everybody a quick shout out to those of you who are donning capes today, and you've got your Daily Planet cakes.
What does it mean?
Today, Allie, in 1938 was the first day that Superman first appeared in a comic book.
Do people celebrate it?
Hell yeah!
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Sometimes a whole amphitheater will fill up with people.
Such ease. It's impressive.
And they will give each other gifts. There'll be a reciprocity of of presents back and forth between the fans of Superman.
Boys and girls, your attention, please. Presenting a new exciting radio program featuring the thrilling adventures of an amazing and incredible personality.
Oh, Superman.
Speaking of Superman, congratulations to Ronnie Wood of the Rolling Stones. The 69-year-old guitarist from the Stones has twin baby girls this morning. Congratulations to the Woods. Yeah.
Wow.
Father of twin baby girls.
68, you said?
69. Ronnie's 38-year-old wife, Sally, gave birth to Gracie Jane and Alice Rose. And all three ladies are doing just fine.
That's nice.
So, congratulations.
69-year-old dad.
The girls' names are Viagra and Pfizer. No, I'm sorry. I already told you what their names were. And from from erections to lack thereof, just been announced that Mama June, remember Mama June?
Uh-huh.
From Honey Boo Boo?
Yeah.
She's just announced her Gentleman's Club tour. Oh. That's right, folks. If you'd like to see Mama June, you'll be able to see her at Gentleman's Clubs throughout these great United States this summer. Baltimore, Oklahoma City, Los Angeles, and Vegas are just some of the cities in which she is scheduled to appear. Sadly, she won't be entertaining crowds. She won't be working the pole.
I was going to say, what is she...
Like there's a pole that could she could work. She'll just be hobnobbing with customers, Allie. She'll just be meeting and greeting.
People want that?
Getting your photo taken.
Come on.
Listen, I could see it if she was doing it at a Walmart.
Right.
But do you want Mama June in a strip club
no.
where the purpose,
no.
I assume, is to achieve some sort of excitement?
I lost my boner just thinking about
right?
it.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't want that
no.
in your strip club?
No, I do
That's
not.
That's a weird choice.
However, we do have to send Beer Mug when she's here.
Oh, yeah.
For
hell
sure.
Absolutely. And give her a lap dance. What do you think she's making per appearance, Allie? What would your guess be?
Maybe... $5,000?
$20,000.
Are you kidding
no.
me? Per appearance. How is it possible she will draw enough patrons to justify that paycheck?
I would say wow. if it was in Mobile, Alabama or something, maybe. But these are major metropolitan cities.
Yeah.
This is Vegas. This is Los Angeles, Baltimore.
Hmm.
Does she have that kind of pull?
I don't think so. Not anymore.
I don't think so either.
I mean, maybe 5 years ago. You know, when the show was hot. But.
Look, the mob's got to launder their money somehow. So
right.
they give it to Mama June. Today's celebrity birthdays, Tom Holland. Speaking of superheroes, soon to be Spider-Man. Already Spider-Man in Civil War, of course, but he's got his own movie, Spider-Man Homecoming. Can't wait. 20 years old today. Comedian Amy Schumer's 35. Alanis Morissette's 42 years old. Heidi Klum is 43. Hey, we were just talking about him. Ronnie Wood. Dad, the new twin daughter, celebrates his birthday today. He's 69.
And actor Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman is 79 years old today. And the voice of God.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
K-Rock Festival.
All right, 106.7 K-Rock. Listening to K-Rock right now.
Hi, Rodney.
Rodney in the mornings.
Nope. Still Kevin Bean.
Rodney.
Still Kevin and Bean
okay.
show, but
it's
good to see you, buddy. How you
Not
been?
AM radio, it's FM,
mm-hmm.
KROQ-FM, but it's AM because it's morning time before noon.
We got it,
sense.
Right. We
yeah.
understand how it works.
AM.
No, we got it.
Which means
hey, Rodney,
after
yeah.
midnight?
I think that's right, yeah. Hey, listen, Rodney, I wanted to ask you.
What does PM mean? Post-midnight?
Pre-midnight, maybe?
Pre-midnight?
I don't know. I don't have any idea what they
All
mean.
Right. It's Rodney in morning.
I think they're something
K-Rock,
and something meridian,
6.
I think
7.
Is what it is.
All right, Meridian. Chase Meridian was the name of the character played by that red-headed Australian girl in Batman.
I don't have any idea what you're talking about, Roddy. I'm sorry.
She's married to Tom Cruise.
Oh, yeah, Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman.
That's right,
played
yeah.
played Chase Meridian.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, in Batman Forever.
Batman Forever.
I'm surprised
yeah.
you would remember that.
How?
With Val Kilmer.
Okay. Well, listen, Rodney, since you're here.
Like Batman.
I wanted to, we don't get a chance to see you very often.
All right.
But I wanted to compliment you on something. I wanted to thank you and compliment you on something. Because you were ahead of the curve all these years. You've been talking about how great the Monkees are.
The Monkees.
The Monkees are your favorite band.
All
and how
right.
you can't wait for the Monkees to put out a new record. And they're the best. And you can't wait to see them on tour. And everybody should love the Monkees. And you've been playing a lot of Monkees on your Sunday night show here on K-Rock. Well, apparently your time has come, my friend. Because the Monkees' new album, Good Times, as you know, is out, Rodney.
Oh, yes.
And it is the number one selling album on Amazon.com.
I
right
know.
Now. The number one
number
selling album.
Number one album on Amazon's
That's what I said. Right.
CD list.
That's right. So for people who buy CDs, of course, it's top 20 on iTunes, so there are a lot of digital fans too, but for people who still buy the compact disc, the Monkees are number one. Now, how do you explain this phenomenal success of this
band? Because the Monkees are the greatest band that has ever been on records.
Well, I'm not sure.
And a television show.
They did have a TV show,
and
yeah.
Their music... Mm-hmm. is number one on Amazon
right. We actually
sales
that.
List.
Yeah, we just talked about that.
And I told everyone that it was mm-hmm. they're the best, and now I'm right.
Well, apparently you are right, because at least for now, they're the best.
Suck it.
Oh, well. I mean,
what do
everyone in the world.
What do you like about the new album so much, Rodney?
It's great,
mm-hmm.
and produced by Adam Schlesinger.
Oh.
From Fountains of Wayne.
Yeah, he's very talented.
And... these songs sound just like a song, like Monkee songs.
Uh-huh.
So it's like being back when the Monkees were great,
mm-hmm.
after President Kennedy put us in that bad position.
He certainly did do that,
the Monkees
yes.
came along, and they did.
You okay, Rodney?
He did put us in a bad position, Rodney.
Kind of a dick move, really.
The Beatles, of course, but the Monkees were like...
Right.
America's answer to the Beatles.
That is correct.
And
yes.
they had the TV show.
Uh-huh.
And I was on it.
Yes,
you were on an episode, weren't you?
I was David Jones's stand-in mm-hmm. on
yeah.
the Monkees.
It's the high point of your whole life, Rodney.
And now they're back, and they're the number one
album on Amazon, right. All right. Do you have any particular songs that you would like to advise our listeners to check out in particular? Rodney?
I'm sorry, I'm just so excited.
Rodney, you're losing it. What's happening here? What tunes would you recommend from the album that people might want to check
so
out?
So many good songs
right?
from the album.
Uh-huh. Any in particular you want to talk about in the remaining
time? Well, the two
time
singles
we have.
That they've released are already hits. Mm-hmm. Everyone loves them. Songs written by... K-rock artists like Rivers Cuomo,
yeah,
Andy Partridge from mm-hmm. XTC,
mm-hmm.
and here's one called You Bring the Summer from Andy Partridge wrote this for the Monkees, and they have the number one album now on Amazon list, sales. So here's You Bring the Summer by the Monkees.
I'll bring the chips and the dips and root beer, even though dark purple rain clouds on you.
It's new Monkees music.
Yeah, that's fun.
That
sounds good.
Mickey
yeah.
Dolan singing there.
Mm-hmm.
And also they have another single that everyone loves called She Makes Me Laugh, and that's from Rivers Cuomo from the Weezers.
Wow, the Weezers, yeah.
All right, here's that song.
She makes me laugh. She makes me smile.
There's Monkee songs.
You must be so happy, Rodney. Finally. Finally, everyone else is on board with
and
you and the
Monkees. And there's even a new David Jones song on the Monkees album. Even though we lost David, he is back on the Monkees album
mm-hmm.
with a song from Neil Diamond,
oh.
who wrote lots of hits for the Monkees back in the times before he was Neil Diamond, the superstar.
Right.
So here's Love to Love with David Jones.
They say you need love to love. You gotta have love to love. They all say it works that way, but if it's true, why do I love you?
All right. I was right, everybody. The Monkees are the best. And I just had to wait 50 years to be cool.
It took a while. It came back around, though, didn't it?
I think finally people are catching up to me.
Well, you play them a lot on your Sunday night show here on
right?
K-Rock, that's for sure.
And I think lots of other things I love are also going to be number one this year.
Oh, really?
I think Lava Lamps are coming back.
Well,
everybody's going to have a lava lamp.
I don't think that's likely.
In their homes.
Rodney.
Okay.
And they'll read by them.
I don't think it lets off enough light.
Newspapers.
Nope.
They're not coming back ever.
Going to be huge. I predict.
It's digital only at this point, okay. And you know that.
And I think lots of people will be walking down the street reading newspapers.
Like you do.
That's unlikely. Then you might have been lucky with the monkeys, but I don't think
no,
the newspapers are coming.
This is my time.
Okay,
and
sorry.
I'm telling you what people are going to like because I picked the monkeys, and
we're
they're
out
number
time.
One on the list
Amazon,
of
right,
Amazon.
Yeah. CDs, right. All right, what else you got? Because then we got to go.
I think Q-tips are coming back.
Did they ever go away? Ronnie? Why do you think Q-tips are coming back? All right, both of you. That's enough. I'm turning this car around.
Prophet. The dictionary defines this as one who delivers divine messages or who foretells the future. Rage. A useful and necessary tool for revolution. Put these two together and you'll find a common theme for a group whose global message has proven them to be the Prophets of Rage.
Prophets of Rage was on the Kevin and Bean Show yesterday, making their on-air debut as a group, the rap rock supergroup with members of Rage Against the Machine, Be Real from Cypress Hill, and Chuck D from Public Enemy, then had their live debut last night at the Whiskey. And our man Dave Sanchez, King of Mexico, producer of the Kevin and Bean Show, was there. Hey, Dave.
Woo!
Hey. So, the Whiskey, that's a tiny little place to see a band with that much explosive energy and power, I bet.
Huh? Can't hear you. My ears are melted from Tom Morello's guitar shredding.
Yeah, I heard he had some very impressive guitar playing last night.
Oh, my God. He's
Did
so
he really
good.
Do a two-minute solo with his teeth?
With his teeth?
That's what I read.
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I mean, maybe, I don't know, there was this big
pillar. I feel
pillar.
Like you'd remember that.
Yeah. I mean, he did his normal solos where he pulls out his cord and, you know, hits it with his hand. He picks with, you know, yeah, and he, you know, hits and uses his nose. And so, yeah, exactly, Al, yeah. That tool, too.
What's happening?
Dave is exhausted. His eyes are so glassy.
I'm tired.
You do seem like it. What time did they go on stage last night, Dave?
They went on around 9:30.
All right. And they played for how long?
They played for about dose hours.
Wow.
Oh,
how
wow.
about that?
And so, I understand they did not only their own songs, but they did originals. So well, two originals?
I think they did one, the party's over.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I think the Shut 'Em Down was the Public Enemy, Public Enemy track.
Hmm.
I think so.
They did a little of No Sleep Till Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Fight the Power medley, which sounds
yeah, that was
awesome.
That was a cool mashup. It was more of a mashup, which hearing the Rage guys playing No Sleep Till Brooklyn.
Nice.
That's... I'm not going to lie. That wasn't bad.
What about Chuck D and Be Real switching off the vocals?
They did that on a couple of songs, and it sounded a little weird, but
really?
You just got to get used to it, you know, because their voices are so different from Zach's, you know, mm-hmm. and everyone is just thinking like, ooh, I'm going to hear like Zach's voice, but Chuck D's voice is so low mm-hmm. that, you know, sometimes it's even hard to understand when he's going through these lyrics so fast but it was interesting and it was fun. And I've never seen Chuck D perform.
Oh, he's amazing.
So this was a treat.
Yeah.
You know, like
no kidding.
Like this was awesome, especially when they went into that Public Enemy Cypress Hill medley where it was just them and DJ Lord. So, you know, the band took a break. And by taking a break, they went and watched, you know, the guys perform. So
yeah, so DJ
awesome.
Lord, the DJ for Public Enemy, puts together this this Cypress Hill Public Enemy medley where they do Insane in the Membrane, they do Bring the Noise, they do Welcome to the Terror Dome, and the guys are just singing back and forth. And, I mean, that must have been amazing. Now, I hear that they really tried hard to crack down on people's phones. And I was wondering, I saw a couple of clips online this morning. How do they do that? They don't physically take your phone from you, right?
It's crazy because they have this little sleeve that has like a magnetic lock on it. Mm-hmm. So they put your phone in this sleeve. And like, you know, when you're in a department store and they have to unclip that little
Yeah, they put in the enclosed and whatnot.
So So they put a little sleeve with that in it, and then when you leave, you have to get it unclipped, and then you take out your phone. So there was no phones out there.
Huh.
Well, there are only a couple that I saw, and I knew that they were trying real hard to prevent that from happening. What about, you know, we got a little bit of an idea when we had the boys in here yesterday, and you can watch the entire interview at the K-Rock Facebook page or the Kevin Amin Facebook page, because we did broadcast it live last night or yesterday morning on Facebook Live. So you can see the whole interview with all five members of the band from yesterday's show. But there was a reason why they chose now to get back together, because they're all very politically active. Did they spend much time talking about those sorts of things from the stage?
You know, just a little bit before the party's over. I mean, they did the whole, like, it's time to take action, you know, who's with us, you know, everyone has to speak up, take the power back. But just before they performed their new song, The Party's Over, you know, that's where they did the little Trump speech and you know, encouraging everyone to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was good to hear. It's good to hear Chuck D. You know, coming from Be Real, it's a little weird, you know, because he's a stoner. And I always heard Cypress Hill as, you know, that kind of like aggressive stoner band or group. But to hear Chuck D spew it was pretty cool.
Who'd you see last night, by the way? It was a very tough ticket to get, obviously, but I'm sure that some of the stars were there. Did you run into anybody?
I saw Tony Connell, ran into him at the end of the show.
No doubt, right?
Yeah. But essentially, I found a spot. I found a great spot and stayed there because I was not going to miss this. So...
They're playing again Friday night?
Friday night at the Palladium.
Did they give any – and we're going to have some tickets to give away later on this morning. Did they give any indication from the stage of what they wouldn't answer in the studio yesterday about what the future of Prophets of Rage is?
None. They just rocked. They just jammed out and then said – you know, they didn't even mention the Palladium show. You know, they announced it before they even went on stage.
At the Whiskey last night,
yeah,
right?
Via social media, yeah.
Well, it's very exciting, and I will tell you that I am encouraged by the fact that they have new material also. That makes me wonder if, you know, would it be awesome if they did an album, if they did a tour? I mean, it's so great to see more of this.
I don't think you rehearse for that amount of time for two shows.
And The Party's Over was a good song. It wasn't like, you know, here's a little taste of it. It was all like, bom, 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 bom.
That's fine. Thank you, Dave.
Okay. So that's like, the party's over.
Wow.
I'm going to ask a question that calls for an opinion, Dave, because you're a big Rage Against the Machine fan.
Yes, I am.
What do you think is the reason that three guys can work together so often and easily and Zach cannot? What do you think is going on there?
You know, I have no clue. And, you know, they mentioned Zach a lot during...
Very positive.
Yeah,
right?
They're like, listen,
he's our brother. We love him.
Yeah, we're just, you know, warming, you know, I don't know if he's just like, we're just holding the seat, keeping the seat warm for you, you know, until you're ready to come back. So I was like, I wonder if this is like a little push, like, hey, look, Zach,
look how much fun we're having.
This is cool. This is a good time right now for us to come back.
Yeah.
What do you think it is, Allie? Why do you think he won't be part of it? They're one of the biggest, you know, and most beloved rock bands of all time, and the three guys are just dying for it to happen.
Sometimes you get over things. Sometimes things aren't that great, and we put what we see on them. Like, we see how great they are, how much we love them. How can they not do it? Well, maybe it wasn't so great and so fun.
But
for one
what's
of them.
Not to like about being the lead singer of Rage Against the Machine? That can't be a bad job.
I guess you got to be angry all the time. And I don't know if maybe he found happiness and he's like, I'm cool.
You work infrequently for lots of money. It just seems like there's a real positive. Look, it's not like we're talking about Sting or somebody who went off and had a huge solo career. And yeah, maybe I don't want to go back and be in the Police. You know what I mean? This is a guy who has basically been invisible with very few exceptions in the last 15 years. It's a mystery to me.
It's not for him. Who are we to put our expectations on someone? He doesn't want to do
Zach.
It.
Hey, Zach, we miss you. Come back.
Yeah, come back.
Yeah.
All right. So Prophets of Rage will be Friday night?
Friday night. Yeah, I think tickets go on sale this Thursday.
And that show is where?
At the Palladium.
At the Palladium. Good times. All right, thanks for the review, Dave. And we'll have those tickets to give away a little bit later on this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
And now, a moment with Bean.
But in the spirit of reciprocity.
One more.
You say it.
No, one more.
Reciprocity? Yes, thank you.
That was A Moment with B.
Wow.
Standing O!
Right?
Standing O!
That's good times right there. Hey, the great William Shatner joins us next hour on The Kevin DeBede Show. And Andy Samberg as well in the 8 o'clock hour. That's all coming up here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's got the show of his beat on a Wednesday morning.
Speaking of Samberg and other SNL alum, anybody catch Maya and Marty last night?
I didn't.
Did not.
How was it?
Uneven.
Aw.
But here's the thing. They're both enormously likable performers.
And that's Martin Short and...
Maya Rudolph.
Maya Rudolph.
From Saturday Night Live, yeah. It was weird because Lorne Michaels produced it, and it felt like sort of a watered-down Saturday Night Live. Mm. It looked like it. It sounded like it. And it's weird because Marty and Maya aren't a comedy duo. It's not like they have a history of working together.
Yeah.
So largely, they went off and did other sketches like on their own, so you didn't really understand why they were together.
Huh.
Yeah, I was confused. And then they brought in Kenan Thompson and Jimmy Fallon to do a sketch. And I was like, well, this is hell. This is hell on television. So there were some things that worked. Miley Cyrus, you know, I'm not a fan, but she was actually really good. She did live musical performance. It was terrific.
She's enormously talented, which is what I've been telling you for years.
She's not. She's awful.
Well,
but she
is.
Was less than annoying. And but the highlight for me was the return of Jiminy Glick. They brought Jiminy Glick.
Oh, Jiminy.
Love Jiminy.
And Jiminy Glick sat down with Larry David and interviewed him. And you're laughing already, and rightly so.
Could there be two different people?
Oh, it was. Oh.
Why are you so filled with rage, Larry David?
Could it be because.
And I want to get this correct. You're a Jew.
Oh, that's how it's going to be? And then they start going back and forth, and it was just...
It sounds like that sketch alone is worth watching.
It absolutely was, yeah. So, I don't know, next week, Steve Martin is the guest. So, I mean, they got a lot of great guests. Tom Hanks was on last night. And I think there's a lot of potential there. I just hope they kind of find their footing, because some of the...
Well, that's very nice, Ralph. It's wonderful to hear your story. I wonder if anyone else cares.
There's Jiminy there. That's one of the greatest moments of my life, when Jiminy Glick insulted me. I was so happy. Congratulations once again. We mentioned earlier this morning to Rolling Stone guitarist Ronnie Wood. Just want to give him a shout out because he has twin baby girls. He's the dad of two new twin baby girls at the age of 69 years old. Ronnie Wood's a new dad, so congratulations, Ronnie.
And his wife again is how old?
38 years old.
Being, 38. Sure.
And he is 69, so that happened.
I guess she's an attractive woman, or at least she used to be. She's older now.
No, she's plenty attractive, Alex. Thanks.
Wife's a solid 8. After kids, probably still be a 7.
Speaking of babies, Jenna Malone, she welcomed a baby boy into the world. Star of such moms as Stepmom, Donnie Darko, Sucker Punch. She and her partner, Ethan DeLorenzo, have a new baby boy, and I was just so thrilled to see them. So proud of their new baby, Ode.
Ode?
Ode.
O-D-E?
O-D-E. I should probably give you his whole name. Ode Mountain DeLorenzo Malone is
Come
his
on.
Name. So, congratulations.
That's bullshit.
Ode Mountain. Welcome
Maybe
to the planet, Ode Mountain.
They forgot the I and it's Odie.
No.
Maybe.
Which really wouldn't be that much of an
Not
improvement,
much,
really.
Not much, but Ode?
Ode Mountain, yes.
An ode is like a poem, right?
Right, yes, exactly. A tribute in poetry or prose.
I've never heard that as a name before.
Ode? No, you know why you haven't heard that? Not a name.
Not a name.
Not a name. Ode. And I didn't know this existed, but it does, and apparently it's reopening. Did you know there was a Wizard of Oz theme park?
No.
In North Carolina, called the Land of Oz, that apparently was open and was wildly successful from 1970 to 1980 until it closed. But they're reopening it. And so people will get to visit Oz and walk the Yellow Brick Road and hang out with Dorothy and the Tin Man and the Wizard. And they're testing it together. They do it once a week. They're going to open it up and see how business goes. But apparently the tickets are flying off the ticket reel. or wherever you get tickets from.
Sure.
I can't see tickets on a shelf, so I don't know where they're flying off from.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I thought that was interesting. At one point during its first summer, 1970, it was the second most popular tourist park in America.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
That is a real surprise. Huh. I've been to the Wizard of Oz Museum in Kansas.
Well,
which,
sure. Who hasn't?
Which seemed very, very popular. Right? A lot of people were there. Seems like a pretty big deal. But I didn't know about the theme park at all.
Yeah.
So. I assume they're updating it quite a bit. Or no? They're just keeping it how it was?
I don't know how I really update the story of Wizard of Oz. I think it's just pretty much.
No, I mean the rides. It's not like
Dorothy has an iPad now. She's walking down the Olympic Road.
What I meant,
and the Scarecrow's digital. He's like a hologram.
Tin Man's twerking.
Yo, what's up, Dot? What's up, Dot? You going to see the big man? Yo. I don't think they're really updating.
I think Allie's question, if I could speak for her, is that you can't just reopen the gates after 40 years.
No, I think they're going to slap a fresh coat of paint on it, if that's what you mean. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. They're going to spruce the joint up a little bit, but I don't believe they're updating the story at all.
Scarecrow dabbing.
Today's celebrity birthday is Tom Holland. You know him as Peter Parker, Spider-Man in Civil War. Of course, he's got his own Spider-Man movie coming out soon. 20 years old today. Amy Schumer's 35. Alanis Morissette's 42. Heidi Klum is 43. Ronnie Wood, 69 years old today. And actor Morgan Freeman celebrates his 79th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
For those who are holding out for an Oasis reunion, Allie, how do you feel it's looking?
Not great.
What's
not
going
great.
On? What's going on with your boyfriend, Liam?
I think it was about a week ago. He posted a picture of his brother, Noel, and just wrote a caption, potato. And then the next tweet was F Oasis. And I thought, it's not looking great.
Yeah. Not looking great.
Yeah.
Liam Gallagher's Twitter bio is national treasure.
He's got a point.
That's what it says. All right. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here Wednesday morning. So glad you're with us. William Shatner joins us in about 20 minutes or so. And keep on listening for tickets for Prophets of Rage for this Friday night at the Palladium. We're going to give those away. Ralph, I don't think you were in here with us yesterday when we were talking about Gorillagate, talking about the gorilla in the Cincinnati Zoo who got shot because a little kid had fallen into the gorilla pit, and the zookeepers were afeared.
Can anything just be a tragedy across the board anymore? Can anything just be a tragic accident, or does everyone have to...
I think in this case...
See things in black and white.
In this case, I think it is okay for people to ask questions, how could this have been avoided?
Of course. You don't want it to happen again. But the actual event... I mean, the parents of this kid are getting death threats from animal rights activists saying that you caused the death of this gorilla and you should die too. And it's insanity.
Yeah. It is insanity. And they shouldn't be getting death threats and they shouldn't die. But they did cause the death of that gorilla by letting their kid climb into the gorilla pit.
No, they didn't.
Well, they did.
No, the zoo shot the gorilla.
Right. But the zoo never would have shot the gorilla if the kid hadn't been in there.
But and why kids have gone into enclosures before and animals didn't die. This was a judgment call made by the zoo officials who did what they had to do. Now, the parents didn't put the kid in there. The kid got away from them and got into the enclosure. If anyone's to blame, it's how can a zoo enclosure be accessed by a child? How can you have a designed enclosure where a child can climb through and get into it?
Well, that is certainly one of the other questions that's been asked.
But it's not the parents' fault.
Because it is the parents' fault.
Well, but no, it's not. Because
38 years that enclosure has been there like this, by the way, and no kid has gotten into it before.
What?
But the kid shouldn't have been able to get into it. I agree with you.
But it's not the parents' fault.
Because
kids get away from you.
Right.
The best parents sometimes will lose track of their kids. That is the nature of having kids.
And that was a lot of the discussion, too. People were saying, you don't have kids. Please don't tell me how kids don't get away from you. They can get away from you at a moment's – just turn your back for a second. I think Bean and I were coming from yesterday. How can that happen? How can you just turn away for a second? How are you not watching your kid 24/7?
You have no idea.
Yeah.
Even when you're watching a kid 24/7, it's a phenomenon of parenthood that even to the best parents, your kid will seemingly magically disappear from you sometimes.
And I accept that and I understand that and I agree that. It's still the parents' fault, though. It may have been an accident. They didn't do it on purpose. I'm not saying they're bad parents, but the parents are ultimately responsible for where their child is. Do you disagree with that?
you can't say you understand that and then say it's their fault and ultimately they're responsible for where their kid is.
They are responsible for where their kid is. You can't be responsible
all the time for where your kid is all the time. You can try, you can do your best, but at some point, even to the best parents, your child will get away from you.
I agree with that.
I believe in those leashes.
See, there you go. Put them on a tether.
So we got an email that I thought was interesting from Eddie, who said, look, did the zoo do the right thing by shooting the gorilla? Yes. Everyone can say what they want, but the fact of the matter is when parents turn their heads for 10 seconds, children many times wander off or do things that can put them in danger. It just happens. I have a quick story to share. Eddie writes in, when I was 8 years old, my family took us on a trip to the Grand Canyon. Yours truly got the bright idea to climb the wall outside the visitor center, so that's what I did. My family was up the trail a little bit, so I climbed the wall, and there was no gate, there was no railing, and the drop was about a mile to the canyon floor. The only reason my parents found out what was going on is that the people around them on the trail started saying, hey, what's that kid doing? Hey, do you see that boy? Now, all was well in the end as I did not plummet to my death and I climbed back safely. But the fact remains that a short amount of time can make a difference for anyone's child when one looks away. I think this should serve as more of an awareness matter for parents, which so many across this nation of ours already understand. Just an opinion. Thanks for all you do. So Eddie had one of those experiences where his parents thought they were looking after him and 10 seconds go by and the next thing you know, he's potentially falling into the Grand Canyon.
Yes. And his parents were, by your definition, responsible for his near-death experience. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, sometimes kids will do things that are incomprehensible that you could never imagine in a million years that anyone would do.
Like
even a child.
Taking off your floaties while you're sitting by the pool, taking off your floaties, which my brother did. And the only reason my mom realized what was happening 5 seconds later was she heard this, good swimmer, as I'm at the bottom of the pool.
Oh, my Lord.
Oops.
So Eddie's email makes me think, I bet a lot of our listeners have done a thing as a kid or have had their kids do things where 10 seconds goes by and you can't believe what your kid got into. Exactly what you're saying here, Ralph. I thought it might be interesting to hear about all of those things that didn't go wrong but could have at 1-800-520-1067. You were a little kid and you got away from your parents and did what? Or you're a parent and your kids got away from you and did what? That's the question that we're asking you today at 1-800-520-1067. My family tells a story about I was too young to have an actual memory of this, but my dad's driving down the road and I am in the back seat of the car. And I am in a seatbelt, but while he's driving, I get out of my seatbelt and climb up onto the trunk because we're in a convertible. So my dad is driving down the street and looks in the rearview mirror, and I am on the trunk of the car while the car is moving.
Oh, my God, Bean.
He reaches back while he's driving with his hand and grabs me by the ankle and pulls me back into the car while the car is moving.
Is that why he hates you?
I'm not sure that that's what we're talking about here.
I'm sorry.
But that's exactly the type of thing. I mean, look, you could say to my dad, hey, what else could he have done? He's driving and he's got a kid in a seatbelt in the back seat. Not his fault, right?
No, his fault.
The type of thing you're talking about where kids just do things.
According to you, his fault. And he was probably pushing, less pulling. That's what I'm guessing.
He was pulling me back into the car.
I don't know. Completely easily confused. He could have been pushing the bottom of your shoe.
So 1-800, because this is a story that I can get away with when I get back home and tell my wife, right?
Right.
I just lost the kid. Sorry.
Oh, dear kid, he's a scamp.
So 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Michelle real quick before the break, and then we'll get everybody else's call on the air, too. She's from Downey. She's on line 4, and she gets us going here on K-Rock. Hey, Michelle, thanks so much for listening. What's going on?
Hi. Well, this mischievous little girl that I was when I was little, I used to purposely take my great aunt's keys and chuck them onto the roof so that I could climb the wall and, look at me, I got them down, and then I got stuck up there.
You got stuck up on the roof. How high up was the roof?
Well, it was above a garage.
Oh, Lord. Okay. So you could easily have fallen off and hit your head.
Your parents had no idea that you were even could climb up there, I bet.
No, because I was at my grandma's. They were watching me, and so my parents are nowhere to be found. And look, I can get away from grandma because she's older, and look what I did.
It's kind of a miracle that any of us survived to adulthood, isn't it?
especially in that, like, back in the day when everybody, you know, so a lot of people weren't so, oh, my God, where's my kid? Everybody was like, oh, they're fine. They're in the backyard. No, I was not. I was on a road.
All right, Michelle, thanks so much for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Your story is coming up next on K-Rock. Got tickets you can win later on this morning for Prophets of Rage, Friday night at the Hollywood Palladium. We'll talk to the great Bill Shatner coming up next. First, though, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Just like that little kid got away from his parents when they weren't paying attention for 10 seconds at the Cincinnati Zoo and ended up in the gorilla enclosure. Many of you have done similar things. We've got a lot of little Houdinis on the line here, Ralph.
Well, that's the nature of kids. They get distracted. They're not even aware of what they're doing, and they get they have all the energy in the world, and they have the size advantage of being able to disappear because they're so small, and they just duck away. I mean, you can't keep contact with them all the time. That's the dangerous, scary part of the truth of it.
Let's talk to Armando to get us going. He's on line four. He's in L.A. What about Ali's idea about leashes, by the way? You ever use a leash, Ralph?
Well, I don't, because my kid is more afraid of getting away from me than I am of her getting away from me. You know what I mean? She's constantly by
really?
Our sides. Yeah, she's very much attached to my wife and I. So, but if I had one of those kids who was hyperactive and all over the place and just a very headstrong sort of, you know, kid that goes out in the world, I would definitely think about that.
Yeah, they look like they're pretty effective. Armando, welcome to the call, my friend. The show, my friend. What's going on?
Hey, how you guys doing? Good morning, everybody.
Hey.
Well, basically, I was about 7 years old. My dad had a pickup truck, stick shift in the backyard. We lived on a little slope hill. So I climbed in, managed to put it in neutral. The truck plowed through the gate. The angle of the steering wheel turned to the left, so I went the whole block down.
Good man.
Crash into a pole down the block, about a block away.
And 7 is too young to drive, right? That's what we're saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you have insurance, Armando? That's what I want to know. Were you able to replace your dad's truck?
I just remember everybody screaming, man. You know, I still kind of recall everyone screaming, but, you know, no one was hurt, and just a front bumper.
Armando got out, lit up a cigarette, right? And said, so what? That's the kind of kid.
Were they watching as it rolled away? Like running after you?
They, you know what? From what I was told, they ran after me. You know, they tried to run after the truck, but it was already in motion. So, you know, they caught up when I slammed into the pole.
That's fantastic.
Armando.
You're a baller, Armando. I would be proud of that story, dude. That's awesome. All right, thank you for the call. Let's go to Inglewood, line 6. This is going to be Richard. Let's find out what he did. Richard, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. Big fan.
Hey, Richard.
So when I was about 4 or 5, I used to watch my granddad shave with the old-fashioned cutthroat razors.
So the straight razor?
The straight razor, the old one. So next time we went to visit my grandparents, I snuck upstairs, and I thought I'd impress them all with shaving. And I came downstairs, and my mom screamed, and I was just covered in blood.
Oh my Lord.
No.
Yeah, luckily I'd only kind of nicked my lips. I hadn't actually slit my throat or anything, but
Jesus.
They were pretty scared.
How old were you, Richard?
I was about 4 or 5.
Oh, my Lord.
My goodness.
That gives me chills.
Yeah, that's too young to shave, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the point of the call. Yeah.
All right, thank you,
Richard. Shave. The skin's never felt better.
Appreciate the call. Let's go to line 1, Lomita. This is Gene up next on the Kevin Beach Show. Hey, Gene.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you? Listen, the situation was with my brother and our families. We were at a zoo, mm-hmm. and his 5-year-old son climbed into a tiger enclosure. Luckily, the tiger was not in the outer part of the cage. He was in the inner part, and the zookeepers were cleaning it.
Oh, my God.
And the only reason we knew it was him is because my nephew is very rambunctious. We looked around. We were talking. We looked around to see where our wives were. And within a blink of an eye, we hear somebody saying, "Well, what's that kid doing in the tiger enclosure?" We looked around, and there he was. My brother jumped over a couple of benches, jumped into the enclosure, grabbed him, took him out. And as soon as he came out, the zookeeper's coming around the corner looking at the two of them, saying, "What the hell happened here?" And that happened, as I said, within a blink of an eye. And my nephew was probably about 5 years of age.
How about that? So, by the way, we didn't talk about this yesterday, but did anyone think of jumping in to try to rescue the kid from the gorilla? Or was that not even an option on the table for anybody?
I don't know.
Because I think a lot of parents would jump in if their kid was in a situation like that in a zoo enclosure.
I feel like he got under wires, went over.
Only someone his size could have gotten through, I believe. Gotcha. That's the problem.
Well, Gene, your nephew was incredibly lucky. I mean, who jumps into a tiger enclosure and lives to tell the tale? That's amazing, sir. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet. Let's do one more. Let's make it Donna in Upland. You got to hate it when this happens. Donna, you're the last call. Go ahead, please.
Hey. When I was about a toddler, I had gone with my mom, who was house-sitting, and just as she was turning off the house alarm and going on about her way, I had already run off to the bedroom as if I knew, obviously, where they were, and walked out with a loaded gun pointed directly at her.
Oh my God.
Oh, dude.
That's terrifying.
You pulled a gun on your own mother.
I was asked earlier, was this defensive? Were you protecting yourself? I was a toddler. I had no clue. But obviously, I had an idea. This guy was a gun enthusiast, though, also. And so even in the 70s, there were completely loaded. He had them laying out randomly.
Oh, sure.
They knew we were coming over, but they thought my mom was going to be by herself, and I had just, at the last minute, gone with her. And I knew the helm very well, but again, yeah, that's what happened.
Hand over the candy, Mom, and nobody gets hurt.
Exactly. I got what I wanted.
Thanks, Donna. Thanks for the call. Bill Shatner, next on K-Rock.
This is William Shatner, and I would like to invite you to take a journey with me into the 21st century. So take the next few minutes and listen very closely. You'll be amazed at what you hear.
I don't doubt that. He is an actor, producer, director, writer, singer, author, philanthropist, horseman, spokesperson, comedian, and the greatest Canadian of all time, ladies and gentlemen. Our friend William Shatner back on the Kevin Bean Show. On K-Rock. Hey.
That's all I've got to say. Goodbye.
How are you, Bill?
I'm so well. Actually, I got a little bronchitis, but I'll be fine by the end of the day. It is that time of year. My Hollywood Charity Horse Show is on this coming this week. And the next day, and it'll go on for 5 days through to Sunday. It's a great horse show. So if you're interested in horses and exciting competition, come down to the Equestrian Center in Burbank, the Los Angeles Equestrian Center. But my horse show, thepriceline.com, Hollywood Horse Show, sponsored by Wells Fargo, is we put a party on this Saturday night. Mm-hmm. We've got a few seats left. We'll have a meal by Stonefire Grill. And Neil McCoy is coming to entertain us.
Very popular country singer.
Absolutely, very popular, and he's got a couple of hit albums out there. And he's coming, and all of this is done as donations. And when we get the people that we're talking to right now in the doors, we will have completed, I believe it's 30 years of Hollywood Charity Horse Show raising money for local charities. Every penny that you give to the Hollywood Charity Horse Show goes out to the children and or veterans. Not a penny is paid. We're privately funded, and all your money goes to the charity.
Well, and it's wonderful how much money you've raised in the decades that you've been doing the show, Bill. And I know we've talked many times on the air about the Ahead with Horses charity. You raise money for Children's Hospital Los Angeles, Hollenbeck Police Activities League, St. Jude Children's Hospital, the Painted Turtle. I mean, do you have any idea? Have you kept a tally on how much you've raised just doing the horse show every year?
We've been raising between $400,000 and $500,000 a year, and we've been at it 30 years.
Wow.
I believe the total. I've never had the bookkeepers add it up, but it's got to be in excess of $10 million.
Unbelievable. And it's such a fun event, too. The food is so great and the entertainment is so great, and you get to see people riding horses. Bill's out there on a horse as well. It's horseshow.org, and it's this Saturday at the Los Angeles Equestrian Center in Burbank. It's such a fun event. And you still find time to ride?
I'm riding competitively in the show. I've got some work to do tomorrow and Friday. But I'm right back Friday afternoon, and Saturday and Sunday I'll be competing against kids who are 18 and born on a horse.
But you always win at your own show, right, Bill? No, well, the judges can't vote against
mind.
You.
They don't mind.
I worked
so hard at it that my expectation is I can win this.
Were horses something that drew you in early in your life, Bill, or is it a hobby you took up much later in life you were already
much later
adult?
Because
really?
It's not inexpensive, which is a bad way of saying it kills you. The people who know about money their edict is don't buy anything that eats while you sleep. and it can be true. So the interest in horses came late in life because I had some money to do it.
And what is it about horses that is so appealing to you? I mean, I've talked to you many times in the past where you talk about you just hate it if you have to go a week where you're not around horses. What is it they give
it.
To you?
The horse is a herd animal. It requires, it's been required from millions of years of evolution not to think of yesterday, the pasture that they ate. It wasn't that great yesterday. And what will I do tomorrow? They can't afford for their attention to be anything but in the moment. So the horse is very much in the moment. And if you and I can stay in the moment, because the same things apply to human beings, you can't do anything about the past, and you don't know what the future is going to be. You can only handle this moment. And horses have that effect on people, in addition to their beauty and their grace and their speed and their strength. So people almost magically, mystically, begin to get that message and begin to come out of themselves. And I've seen children walk who couldn't walk or were not supposed to walk. I've seen veterans be helped from the things that ail them by doing this horse therapy. It's just being with this beautiful living entity that, and you have the capacity to reach it on a nonverbal level.
Yeah, that's beautifully said. Again, we're talking to William Shatner, the 26th annual William Shatner Priceline.com Hollywood Charity Horse Show is this weekend, Saturday, at the Los Angeles Equestrian Center in Burbank. Go to horseshow.org. I've been keeping up with you the past couple of weeks, Bill, as I knew you were coming on the show. And did you go in the last 7 days from Germany to Florida to Vancouver, B.C., to Houston, and then back to Los Angeles? Has that been your week?
You missed a few stops.
Oh, man.
No, I flew to Ottawa. They were making a stamp and a coin of me, and then took the red eye to Bonn, Germany, spent 2 days working there, flew to Rome, rented a car, drove up the Adriatic coast where I was appearing in Italy. Then, after 2 days of working, drove through to Venice, Strasbourg, and ended up in Vienna. And that next early morning, I was on a plane to Orlando, where I worked in Orlando. There was a private plane waiting for me Saturday morning. I flew to Vancouver, made a speech there. The same plane flew me down to Houston, where I appeared on Sunday, and then Sunday night I took a flight home.
This is an 85-year-old man giving you his schedule of the last 10 days, by the way.
And what's... now I'm competing in this horse show. and I'm wondering, when does the train stop?
You know what you need to add to...
I've got to get off of this thing.
You need to add to all of this, maybe make a Christmas album.
Now, I've been asked to do a Christmas album.
Yeah.
Ben Folds and I.
Oh, I love you two together.
Well, I mean, Ben and... we're working on that. In the meantime, I'm compiling and attempting to write some and get some others written, interesting takes on Christmas songs that are out of the ordinary. Knowing Ben, that's entirely possible.
I love that so much. The record that you two made together, which has been, what, about 10 years now, maybe a little more, is one of my favorite albums of all time. I am so excited you two are working together again.
I'm so excited, too, and so is he. He's on the East Coast in a small town in upper New York. He's built himself a studio, and he emanates from that small town in upstate New York.
That's fantastic. All right. One more question, Bill. We've been friends for a long time. We've had you on the show dozens of times over the years. You've always been very generous. I don't know that I've ever asked you a single Star Trek question in all the years you've been on. Do you mind if I ask you one today?
No, you're allowed one every 10 years.
Okay, good. You've had, obviously, such a long association, more than 50 years now with the show. You've written for the show. You've acted in the show. You've directed movies. I'm wondering if you still pay attention to the various and current incarnations of Star Trek as a fan when the new Star Trek trailer comes out for the upcoming movie, for instance. Is that something you watch and have an opinion on, or is it if it's you're not involved in it, do you not care about it
anymore? The strangest thing, I have never seen another iteration of Star Trek.
That is shocking to me.
And I haven't seen all of the 79 hours that I was in. I've never seen all of them. I just don't. There is a reason. There's something other than ordinary to the reason I haven't seen these Star Trek. I say it's time, and I don't watch our shows, but, you know, I'm asked that a lot, and I should be watching some so that I don't have to say I don't watch any. But the fact is, I haven't watched any.
So it's not, we're not just talking about the new movie with the young cast. You're saying you didn't watch Next Generation, you didn't watch Voyager, you didn't watch
That's
any
exactly
of them.
Exactly right. Wow. And not only that, I didn't see the three movies.
That is shocking to me.
And it's shocking to me, too, when I realize the enormity of it, and I can't give you a valid reason.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate the honesty in your answer, at least. Look, you're busy out there riding horses. You've got a lot on your plate.
I tell you, the horses take a lot of my time.
Hey, kids, it's something different than anything else you will do all year long, and I can vouch personally for how fun this event is. This Saturday, June 4th at the Los Angeles Equestrian Center in Burbank, it's the 26th annual William Shatner Priceline.com Hollywood Charity Horse Show, and as Bill mentioned, every penny goes to some great local charities. You will have so much fun out there, and go to horseshow.org.
That was Priceline.com, also sponsored by Wells Fargo.
Absolutely. Horseshow.org. So buy your tickets. Bill, we'll see you this weekend, my friend. Thanks so much for coming
on. Thank you for taking my call, my friend.
You bet. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Andy Samberg coming up next hour here on K-Rock, and we're going to talk about the Licky Brush. I know it's your favorite thing, Ralph.
I hate it.
Well, you love cats and you love cat people, so why wouldn't you love the Licky Brush?
This is everything that's wrong with humanity in one story.
Maybe it is. We'll find
Not
out.
Not maybe.
We're doing What's Good next. Do you need the phones, or should we sell now? Should we give away the phone number now?
Feel free to give out the
phone. No, if you need the phones for one of
Why
your
would I
giveaways?
Do a phone thing if we were going to do What's Good next?
Well, I just wanted to make sure.
Why would I tie up those phones?
Screwing up your system is all.
I don't have a system.
All right.
I'm just winging it here, man.
Asshole.
I show up half drunk and I just talk about people. That's all.
Explain to the people what What's Good is all about, Ralph.
Well, here's the thing about our show. It's not very good. And often people will complain, why are you talking about the Licky Brush when you should be talking about this thing that really matters? And so sometimes people think we're missing the big picture. There's topics, there's stories, things of interest that we are completely ignoring and not covering on the show. This is an opportunity to rectify that situation when you call in with what you care about in the moment, and we get a chance to open up the phone lines and discuss what you, the listener, would like us to hear talk about.
Well said. So 1-800-520-1067. You can call on any topic. Perhaps you've got questions. Perhaps you've got problems. We're here for. We are ready to believe you.
But don't call in about the Licky Brush. We got that covered.
Got that covered. We're
Licky Brush headquarters. Right here for all the info for the Licky Brush.
So any topic, why listen to the Kevin and Bean Show when you can be a part of the Kevin and Bean Show? That's what we always say. 1-800-520-1067. Your calls for Kevin and Bean's What's Good right now. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday. What's going on?
I think what we say is why listen to the Kevin and Bean Show, and we stop there.
Well,
we don't usually add the second part about when you can be on the Kevin and Bean Show.
That's a very defensible position.
Yeah. Here's the thing about showbiz people. You think they got it all because they're beautiful and rich and smart and talented. But it's hard. It's hard being all those things, right? Just ask Kit Harington of Game of Thrones. He is very upset because he thinks people think he is just another pretty face. He says he is more than just a head of hair or a set of looks. And it's demeaning when people say how beautiful and handsome he is.
Huh.
I would love to be demeaned in such a way.
Interesting.
He says that sexism towards men exists in Hollywood. I'm sorry, I couldn't say that without laughing.
So he's just tired of being treated like a piece of meat?
Right.
Huh.
And he says he will stop acting if he ever feels that he is being employed solely for his handsome exterior. That's why I stopped. I stopped because I felt every time I walked into a room, they just saw this. They just saw this gleaming beauty, this package.
You are so much more.
I'm more than that. I'm a person. I have something else going on underneath.
It's true.
You're not more handsome buffer Thor. You actually got a personality.
Right.
Talent.
I have a heart.
Yeah.
It's black and stone-like, but it's there.
Look, Kit Harington is not wrong. There's no question that he gets auditions and jobs because he is an attractive person. But welcome to Hollywood. That's what they do in Hollywood, is they cast people that are attractive.
I bet his decision to get into acting
was at least in part predicated upon him looking in the mirror and going, hey, you know, I could do something with that.
Yeah.
Right.
He wasn't unaware that he was attractive, right?
Right.
When he
right.
chose this profession.
Huh.
Now, here's the flip side of it. One of the reasons I laughed about sexism towards men in Hollywood, because that's, in the words of the great comedian Larry Miller, the sexism towards men versus sexism towards women in Hollywood is the difference between throwing a bullet and shooting one. And case in point, Kate Beckinsale. Arguably one of the most beautiful, talented actresses in Hollywood.
Gorgeous. Currently be seen in Love and Friendship, I understand.
Not according to Michael Bay, who cast Kate Beckinsale in Pearl Harbor. You may remember her
right.
as the nurse in that. Beckinsale apparently said that Michael Bay was baffled by her because her boobs weren't big enough. And when she was on doing that film, she was told by the director that he insisted that she lose weight because she was too big.
Okay. Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah. She said, I had just had my daughter and I had lost weight, but I was told that if I got the part, I'd have to work out and lose more. And I just didn't understand why a 1940s nurse would have to do that, she said. So,
Isn't he kind of notorious for just kind of being an a-hole?
Yeah, yeah. He's kind of a douchebag.
Yeah.
But, I mean, can you imagine being Kate Beckinsale and then having to deal with that? What an average woman, or God forbid, an older woman in Hollywood has to deal with when they go in for auditions and they work with these jackhole directors.
And Michael Bay in particular, I think he's not famous for having roles for women that are anything more than eye candy.
No. Well, he did do. Oh, no. No, he didn't. Never mind.
Okay. Thinking of Megan Fox's great work in the Transformers film, were you?
Yeah, I was going to say, he created a believable character on her.
But, right.
Yeah. Congratulations to Ronnie Wood of the Rolling Stones. The 69-year-old guitarist has twin baby girls this week.
I'm sorry, he's how old?
He's 69. You know, that's the average age for a father, right?
And his children are how old?
They're newborns.
I see.
They're days old. So, he's going to have a good time as his kids play with Grandpa Daddy.
Yep.
Great Grandpa Daddy.
They are thinking of naming the girls Viagra and Pfizer in tribute.
Hey, dumb question.
Okay.
Because that's my specialty.
We love them, too. Keep bringing them.
Is there no age at which sperm is no longer potent?
Can you father
a child till your death?
Here's the unfair thing.
Tell me.
Sperm, although it decreases in motility and in amount, mm-hmm. you just need one.
Right.
Right. So, well, our eggs are turned into dust.
Yeah,
at like
they got. They have definitely have an expiration date. But,
so literally, you can be. I mean, he was 68 when this baby was conceived. So you could be 75.
Late great actor Tony Randall, I believe, was a new father at 80, if I'm not mistaken.
All right,
and I'm down for Clint Eastwood.
Right, and Allie's trying to get Clint Eastwood to talk to her chair. If you know what I mean.
You know, man.
So
my chair being my hoo ha.
Okay, I think we understood what
Ralph made the point. Really,
I was alluding to there, but thanks so much for your backup.
That's something else.
Yeah. And while we're talking about babies, congratulations to actress Jenna Malone. She has a new baby boy, and she and her partner, Ethan DeLorenzo, named him Ode Mountain. Ode Mountain.
Nope.
Ode Mountain.
Uh-uh.
Right. Yes, sir. Ode Mountain.
Ode Mountain.
That was where the ring was hidden for a while in the Lord of the Rings films, right? Was
Ode Mountain. Ode Mountain.
All right, that's a choice.
The answer is Ode Mountain. See what the question is. What did the Ode Man climb up?
Ode Mountain. Today's celebrity birthdays. Morgan Freeman, 79 years old. It's like 8 people in the world who understand what we're doing right now. Morgan Freeman, 79, as I mentioned, guitarist. Ronnie Wood, new dad from the Rolling Stones, 69 years old today. Heidi Klum is 43. Alanis Morissette is 42. Amy Schumer's 35. And actor Tom Holland, Spider-Man in Civil War and soon to be seen in Spider-Man Homecoming, the new Spider-Man film. Just 20 years old. A pup. Hope he starts having some kids soon. Right? Get some youngins out there.
I don't think we need more kids.
Oh, we do. We need a bunch of them.
You sure?
Yeah.
Why are you talking like that?
I don't know.
Me either.
I'm Rob Carmen. I walk the show this week.
Guess who's coming in on tomorrow's show, Allie McKay?
Who?
Beck. How about that?
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He's pretty awesome. I understand he's bringing us some new music. That'll be 9 o'clock tomorrow morning right here on the Kevin Bean Show on KROQ. Right now, though, it's time for your telephone calls at 1-800-520-1067 as we ask you what's good.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
What's good?
All right, Mike, you hang on. Renee, I promise we will get to you, but let's start in Burbank with our friend Travis. He's on line 2 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Travis, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling.
Hello.
What's good, my friend?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. What's good?
You tell me, man.
Hey, I was calling. I saw it's going around the news, and I'm a surfer, and I saw Bethany Hamilton, the girl who got bit by the shark. She lost her arm by the shark. And she recently was in Fiji for a surf competition as like a wild card and was shredding, was killing it.
Well, she's an incredible athlete. She was a great surfer before and she is a great surfer after.
I agree, but I went surfing this morning. I've been surfing for a while now. And I mean, with two arms, it ain't easy. And to do it with one arm in those conditions with, you know, like a 4 feet. It's reef underneath her. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's phenomenal.
You got to give her mad props.
We echo your mad props. I think you're right to mention that. And the thing about surfing is you do use your arms for balance up on the board, and that's your point, is that imagine how tough that is without having two arms to balance.
Well, not only that, the Absolutely. Paddling out, just getting out there is insane.
She does paddle in circles quite a bit. That's true.
Oh, Bean.
Look at Bean. He can barely walk.
I know. It's true.
I thought we were all having a good time here, and then it got ugly. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate it. Let's go to Chino and Mike. He's up next. He's on line 3. I think this one's for you, Alan. This is a hockey call.
Okay.
Hey, good morning.
Hi, Mike.
I wanted to find out. I'm a big Sharks fan and also like the Warriors. Can Southern California fans actually cheer for Northern California teams like the Sharks and
nope.
the Warriors?
No. Here's the thing. Here's the thing with just my point of view. I've been a Kings fan since birth. My parents raised me going to the Forum. Been a Kings fan forever. The Sharks, the Canucks, I will never, ever root for you. But that's fine. I still think it's great that you guys are in it for the and quite frankly, looking great despite the loss for game one. I think it's your series to lose. I think they're on kind of this trajectory. And if you don't win it this year, you're never winning it.
So you're not mad at him, Allie. You're just not going to root for him.
I'm not rooting for you, which is sad because it's really not easy to root for the Penguins because, my God, Crosby and the crying and the ugh, I hate him. But I'm going to have to. I'm going to have to root for them.
Do you remember the playoff times, Allie?
I remember the playoff times, Chip.
Now, Mike, what have you heard when you speak basketball? Have you been able to find any Lakers or Clippers fans who are willing to root for Golden State just because, hey, I'm out of it. Why not root for them? They're a likable team.
No, not really. No, I mean, the Kings, I mean, you know, hockey, those fans are really passionate, and the Laker fans too. But, you know, with the success of the Clippers lately, they're kind of getting more people on their side. But no, I mean, the Warriors are likable. They don't have, you know, many a-hole players or anything like that. So I think that people will like them just because Steph Curry and his cute kid and everything like that.
I love Riley.
They're pretty
Riley.
Likable team. But
you know what it is, Mike?
The Lakers are going to be against them no matter what.
You're a sports fan, so you know this. If they play in your division, or in case of basketball in your conference, you root against them all season long. It's hard to just flip a switch and then all of a sudden start liking the people that you've been wanting to see lose all year. You know? It's understandable.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm a Giants fan, too, for baseball. And,
Mike.
I couldn't, you know, years ago, I couldn't go to the Dodger Stadium and watch the Giants play, especially in any of their colors, because, you know, you just get your ass kicked.
Yeah. You live down here now.
I do.
Is it hard for you?
Yeah, it's rough.
Oh, Mike.
Well, I'm glad you called, Mike. We're happy to have you out there, sir. Thank you so much. Let's do Renee Camarillo. She's up next on the Kevin DeBeecher. Hey, Renee.
Hey, I have a really important announcement.
Oh.
Okay, I'm very concerned, and this is for Ralph Garman. First of all, Ralph loves. But my problem is this. No one is talking about Twilight. No one is talking about Edward and Bella. No one is talking about the next book that was going to come out, which would have been Midnight Suns, but some a-hole released some of the draft online. And I'm looking on Amazon for toys, and I'm looking for t-shirts, and I cannot find them. Now, Ralph Garman, since you're involved with Comic-Con, make this happen.
Okay.
Make this happen. Not only that, but where is Robert Pattinson and the core with this? I want them back together. I don't care. Make it happen.
What's...
Make it happen!
Renee, you're obviously a teenager and you love Twilight.
Oh, no, girlfriend. No, I'm going to be 47. I'm hot. I got an ample bosom and that's my problem finding a t-shirt, okay? I am hot. I'm going to be 47. And let me tell you another thing.
Yes, please do.
My husband tried to burn my books. My son tried to black them out. Oh, my God. I threw the biggest hissy fit. I read them 25 times. I quote them when I get mad at my husband and he pisses me off.
Yeah, your husband, right.
Yes, yes. And I love myself. All I need is a t-shirt that's going to fit my ample bosom.
Okay.
And I need the Twilight and Edward doll.
Do you have an ample bosom, though?
I believe she mentioned that, yes. Renee covered that.
It's beautiful.
Okay.
Beautiful.
All right, Renee, listen.
Make it happen.
Okay, you're very sweet. I'm glad you called, and you're absolutely right. No one's talking about Twilight anymore. So I think that you have mission accomplished. You got Twilight back on our radar, okay?
Okay, did you guys laugh, though, at least? That was my purpose. But I really do love you guys. Thank you so much for putting me on.
We love you, too. All right, Renee.
I love Renee.
Thank you. You're our Twilight correspondent. If that ever comes out, we want to talk to you about it, okay?
Twilight forever.
Poor
Viva. Bye.
Twilight forever. Okay. Bye-bye. What's good?
Hey!
Actor comedian Andy Samberg joins us in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show from Brooklyn Nine-Nine and the new film opening Friday called Pop Star Never Stop Never Stopping. How great does that look?
I cannot wait for Connor for real.
Yeah, he's the best. Anyway, that's coming up. First, though, here's a question I bet you have asked yourself in your head
Never.
A million times.
Never.
I'm with the woman.
I'm sorry. I thought Chip was going to hit a button here with the question.
Have you ever wanted to lick your cat?
Okay, stop
now
right there.
Can.
Have you ever wanted to lick your cat?
Come on, Chip. Read his mind.
God damn it, Chip.
What is wrong with you?
Sending
we need
you.
A Kickstarter for a mind reader, right?
Psychic signals.
God damn it.
Why would she think that she was supposed to hit something if you hadn't told her?
Because the tape starts with the question, have you ever wanted to... Look, this isn't about me. This is about people who want to lick their cats,
it's like
okay?
People like you.
I can't.
This is a Kickstarter where somebody... How would you describe this, Ralph? It's a rubber tongue, really, is what it is, right?
Mm-hmm. Look, it's a brush for your cat. First of all, do cats even need brushing?
Mm-mm. I think they do, yeah.
No.
Yeah,
I think they
do.
Take care of it. That's
right. That's
I think
what they
the
do.
Point
I used
of
to
this...
brush my cat just because my cat was a shedder and it at least collected some of the hair so that he didn't leave.
Yeah, I've never
so
seen
much
a matted cat unless it's one of those
feral cats.
Yeah, or those Angora ones, I guess is it Angora? No, what's the real long-haired
right,
cats.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
But most cats have short hair and they don't need to be brushed. Mm-hmm. But it's a brush for your cat, but instead of just holding the brush like a human being would, it's a specifically designed brush that you stick in your mouth and hold between your teeth, and the brush part is a long tongue-like rubber brush. And this way you can emulate a cat licking itself and or another cat by licking your cat with the rubber brush.
Right. You develop a deeper relationship with your cat. It's
you need
to
develop a deeper relationship with Xanax if that's you doing that.
It's bonding, though, with your pet.
It
allows
so
you and your
creepy.
Pet to be as one. All right. Let's hear a little bit more. Chip, here's your setup. Let's hear a little bit more from the Kickstarter video, which, by the way, is almost completely funded. They're trying to raise $36,500 to put these Licky brushes into production. They're at over 30,000. Already. So a lot of people are down with the Licky brush. Listen up.
Now you can, without the fur balls. Introducing Licky brush. Cats groom each other as a form of social bonding. As a human, you're left out of this intimate ritual. Licky Brush, you can now lick your cat back.
Now you can lick your cat back.
Ralph, it's a high-quality, soft silicone brush designed to feel pleasurable to your cat's sensitive skin. You gently grasp the Licky's bite portion with your teeth and slowly approach your cat when she is sleeping or in an otherwise pleasant mood and ease into the soothing and mutually beneficial licking behavior of cats. And here's my favorite part. Don't be surprised if your cat licks you back.
Then you won't be let out of the intimate ritual. What the freak is going on with these people? What other intimate rituals are they trying to get with their cats?
Don't make it creepy.
It's already creepy.
It doesn't have to be creepy.
If you're putting on a rubber tongue and rubbing your rubber tongue all over your cat, you've already passed the creepy line.
You jumped over it.
Yes.
Yeah.
You leapfrogged.
What if they're right? Are you willing to allow the possibility that maybe they are right and they're getting inside your cat's head and your cat would enjoy this and would be comforted by this and it would make the cat feel like there was another cat in the room?
If your cat thinks you're another cat because you put a piece of rubber in your mouth, then your cat is an asshole.
That's a little freak.
What kind of brain-damaged cat do you have that say, wow, I thought this was a human being, but now that I see the big piece of rubber hanging out of its mouth, it looks just like another cat to me now. Now I just have a big, giant cat friend in my house.
Why does that cat stand on two legs and wear clothes?
Why are they so weird. Why are they using a frying pan to make eggs? I'm confused by that cat's behavior, but it must be a cat because it's got rubber hanging out of its mouth.
Why do you suppose? And by the way, Dave is trying to get the person who invented this, Jason.
Oh, I'd like to have a conversation with that person.
Try to get Jason on the air with us here.
Jason, I need to have a little conversation.
Why do you suppose that 1,187 backers have already contributed money toward making the Licky Brush a reality?
And the fact that there's 25 days to go, and
they're going to shatter their goal. Yeah.
Of course they will. Why is this a surprise to anyone when cat people? Yeah. That's all you need to know.
Cat people?
Cat people.
I like it, by the way. I like it very much. And
It's just there, people. I'm just going to leave this here for you. Bean loves it. The cat people love it. The only person who's not going to love it is the cat. Because the cat's like, why are you rubbing a rubber dildo all over me that's hanging out of your mouth? And you smell like a person, and I know you're a person, but you're trying to brush me with your mouth. Like, what are you, Stephen Hawking? That's what your cat's going to say.
Let's see what it's like in
smart cat,
right?
In action. Kelly Ripa on the Live with Kelly and Whoever I Haven't Gotten Fired Yet Lately show on ABC tried the Licky Brush on the air not long ago, and here's a little bit of what that sounded like.
This is amazing. This guy loved his cat so much. This couple, Tara and Jason O'Mara, and they came up with this device because they were always watching their cats groom each other, and I guess they felt like left out of the action.
Oh no!
So they came up with this device called the Licky Brush, and it allows you to bond with your cat. Like a cat. Now I'm going to show you how it works with a Gelman brought in his cat. Okay, let me get him. Can you get him? Are you good?
Oh my God.
So she's licking a cat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, listen to that audience. I want to just burn that place to the ground with all of them in the building.
I'll put you down for two.
Kevin Bean,
right?
New Kevin and Bean theme by the Lonely Island. They're gonna play it every day from now on. Contractually bound,
it's a Kevin Bean
show. To play it every day, and they will get sued if they don't.
We're going to talk to Andy Samberg from the Lonely Island coming up here in just a minute as soon as we get him on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean show. Allie, you strike me as a person who would be a big Lonely Island fan.
I love everything they do.
What's your
everything.
Favorite? What's your favorite? Hard to choose, I know.
It is hard to choose, but I will tell you this. I am looking so forward not only to this movie, but the soundtrack coming out.
Yes.
That song that Ralph brought in a while ago about Mona Lisa being a basic bitch is basically the greatest thing ever. You're talking about Mona Lisa?
I know. No, they are enormously talented. And, of course, Lonely Island, you know, they did all those digital shorts on Saturday Night Live with lots of great guest stars. I'm on a Boat. It was probably their biggest, I would imagine. I think I'm on a Boat was probably their biggest.
Or
what was the one with
Thing in the Box.
Box with Justin Timberlake. Yes. Another huge hit. And then they had the Michael Bolton one. Remember when he was all dressed up as the pirate?
Jack Sparrow.
They're so great. And the movie does look so funny. It's called Pop Star, Never Stop, Never Stopping. And if we could talk to Andy Samberg about it, it'd be so cool.
It would be so awesome if he was on to talk about it. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
I love that Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Me too. Remember when he hosted the Emmys too? That was good times.
He was really good.
He's really good at it. I remember one of my favorite jokes from the Emmys. Yeah.
How do you remember a joke from the Emmys? Wasn't that like 6 months ago?
It was, more? I think, September of 2015 when he hosted. But I remember it because I laughed so hard and my friend didn't laugh. And I realized that shouldn't be my friend. But he said, I haven't seen all of Kitteridge, but I've seen most of it. And I laughed for an hour. Those were good times, the Emmy times.
That is pretty dumb.
Is he here yet? Can I stop telling jokes from the Emmys from 2015?
I'm sure he would appreciate that you remember any of his monologue from the Emmys.
I mean, it was really good.
I think we got a big intro for Andy, so hit it, Steve.
So you're a dog, right? What's that all about? Okay. Well, it was great to meet you. Say hi to your mother for me, okay?
We love that crying. What calls of Narnia?
What, Natalie?
To drink and fight.
What you need, Natalie?
To host for night.
Take a look inside. Is my in a box?
In my pants.
This really never happens, you can take my word. I won't apologize, that's just absurd.
I actually thought we could just sit by the pool, eat unlimited shrimp, and see what it does to our bodies.
That's cute.
Goodbye, coworkers, or as they like to say at sea,
I'm on a boat, just take the good on low, just take the boat.
I'm sorry, Mona Lisa, the original basic bitch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Andy Samberg.
We couldn't be bigger fans. Emmy Award winner, writer, comedian, actor, and star of this weekend's Pop Star Never Stop, Never Stopping. Andy Samberg, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
I'm great. Holy cow, what an ego boost this early in the morning.
Well, I always worry when our man DJ Omar Khan puts those together that it seems more like a memorial tribute. Like, I'm afraid the star is going to think, oh my God, have I died? What happened?
Rest in peace, Andy.
I'll take it.
And
I'll
you were so it. Young, too. Hey, how are you feeling a couple days away from Popstar finally coming out?
I'm feeling great. It's really nice. We've been working on it for 2.5 years, and we're really happy with it, and I'm excited to get it out there finally.
I want to ask this question before I forget. We had your friend Kevin Nealon on the show yesterday, and he is very excited about the movie, and he said he filmed something, but he doesn't know if he made it into the film or if he's on the cutting room floor, and we promised him we would ask you.
He's in. He plays a red carpet photographer who keeps asking – Yorma's character, may I touch you? May I touch you? As he slowly pushes him out of the frame.
That sounds so much like Kevin, so not a lot of acting.
Yes, it's very funny, and we were very excited to have Kevin. We're big fans of his.
Andy, I'm so interested in the relationship between you guys, between you and Akiva and Yorma, because you have been friends since junior high school, right?
Yeah.
All right, so you're just skateboard kids who love rap music. How is it 20 years later you guys are still...
Skateboard kids.
Right? How is it 20 years later you guys still have this kind of relationship? Because most people at that age don't stay friends, especially they grow up and they go off in different directions. You guys all went to different colleges. How have you been able to stay so tight for so long?
Well, we made being friends our job, which really helped keep our friendship alive because we have to have a job.
Okay. Well,
but it's worked out really beautifully. You know, we still are into the same stuff, just we're keeping up on what's coming out now. And getting to work together is like, it's the crazy dream. It's like what everybody, when your kids kind of says they want to do, but almost no one really gets to. So we're really lucky.
Did you think, was there a time when you were, you know, 17 years old, 18 years old, that you thought you guys were going to be actual pop stars? Like you were going to grow up and be the Beastie Boys?
No, never.
No.
We always knew it was comedy, always comedy. We didn't even think we were going to do that for a living. We just knew that we liked comedy and wanted to do stuff with comedy and music.
That's so interesting.
But even like in high school, I was doing kind of jokey rap stuff with my friends.
Pop Star Never Stop, Never Stopping looks like it must have been incredibly difficult to parody as crazy as the pop world has become.
Yeah, that's accurate. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that as we were shooting and as we were writing was changing so fast that we had to adjust what we were shooting and saying and the way we were packaging it, you know? there were little things, even like, you know, my character is an oversharer on social media. And when we started writing it, Snapchat wasn't even really that big yet. And then over the last 2 years, it sort of surged huge, and we changed a lot of sort of the confessional style stuff he was doing just straight into snaps.
Right. And here the movie is coming out the week that Justin Bieber over the weekend just straight up shot him in his underwear and put it up on social media for everybody to look at him.
Well, thank goodness he's looking great.
More pics.
Who is the most delusional, if you can name one, of the current pop stars? Is it Kanye? Is it Bieber? Is it someone else I'm not thinking of?
It's dangerous to say that Kanye is delusional because he's like a genius, right? So the way he interacts with the world is intentionally off-putting a lot of the time, but he's still making really good music. So mm-hmm. I kind of allot him whatever delusions we might define as delusions he sort of wants, personally.
So you'll give him 8 minutes to just ramble incoherently on Ellen as long as he continues to make Yeezus.
Yes, and, you know, Life of Pablo. But also, everyone loves him on Ellen. He's also, like, he's towing that line between, like, is he, like, off his rocker, or is he saying, like, incredibly, like, satisfying truth that no one else is really willing to say. And sometimes it's one and sometimes it's the other, but it depends sort of person to person how you interpret it, I think.
That's interesting. I had not considered for a minute that he was saying anything noteworthy or beyond just his own craziness in his head. I just look at him like a guy in a rubber room that we just happen to have a camera on, you know?
Oh, I find a lot of what he says very interesting. I remember when he did that crazy, like, BBC radio interview or something a few years ago, and everyone was like, he's crazy and all this. But if you go and watch it now, like, half the stuff he was talking about has come true.
Right. Yeah, well, yeah, I guess so. Talking to Andy Samberg about Pop Star Never Stop, Never Stopping, which opens in theaters everywhere this Friday. What can you tell us about the soundtrack album, too? It's coming out the
that
same day,
Andy. I'm most excited for. Is that
well,
weird? Like, I can't wait to see the movie, but I cannot wait for that album. That's bizarre.
Yeah, the soundtrack is basically a new Lonely Island album. Some of the songs on it make more sense if you've seen the movie, but there's also a lot of standalone stuff. We actually just did a new digital short on the SNL finale for one of the songs from the movie and from the soundtrack. And, yeah, it's got a ton of folks on it. It's got, you know, Akon and Linkin Park and Adam Levine and Pink and all these
wow.
really rad guests. And, yeah, it's fun. It's Lonely Island, crazy, funny songs.
These digital shorts that you've been doing for so long and with so much success on Saturday Night Live, have they opened doors to people that you never thought you'd be able to get on a record because they've seen them and liked them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, once Timberlake does something with you and people like it, pretty much everyone's up for it.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're cool enough for Timberlake, then who can turn you down, right? That makes a
yeah,
lot of sense.
Exactly. I mean, we've worked with some really incredible artists. It's very surreal.
Well, you got a great cast in this film. In addition to you guys, Sarah Silverman is in the movie, Tim Meadows, Joan Cusack,
yeah.
Maya Rudolph, and I understand like 50 other cameos of people that we don't even know are in the movie until we go see it Friday.
Yeah, there's a million cameos, but because it's sort of a music documentary format, it all actually makes sense. I know there's sort of complaints sometimes with films when there's like gratuitous cameos for no reason, but all of these we try to be really diligent about making them motivated, and everybody shows up and is really funny and great.
Well, we're so excited about the film, and I'm so happy they let you make this. You know, a lot of times people have great ideas, but you got to get somebody to give you the money to make a movie like this, and they're not always guaranteed hits. So it's awesome that you
sure.
got a
well,
team behind you, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Judd Apatow produced it, which helps. That helps you get your thing going.
That does help.
Yeah, he's got a lot of clout in the comedy world.
Andy, yep. Can you please host the Emmys again?
Oh, I'd love to.
Okay, great. See you there.
Allie, are you allowed to give that out? I wasn't aware you were hiring.
Yeah, I am hiring, and okay. I'd like you for 2017.
All right, and Brooklyn Nine-Nine returns for a new season on Fox this September. We're so excited. Andy, great to catch up with you, my friend. Pop star Never Stop, Never Stopping. We'll all be there this weekend. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
You bet. They're one of the hottest bands in the world, talking about 21 Pilots coming to Honda Center, not till February, but we are giving away tickets in about 5 minutes or so here on the Kevin DeBean Show and qualifying you for the grand prize drawing of Destination Number 2 of the K-Rock Festival Flyaway 2016. That's to see the band and hundreds of others at the Reading Festival in England. So keep on listening. We'll tell you when to call in. Hey, Ralph Garman.
I was looking so forward to watching Maya and Marty last night because They're two of my favorite performers. I am a huge fan of Maya Rudolph's. I think she was one of the best parts of Saturday Night Live when she was on.
Yeah, she's great.
And Martin Short may be one of my all-time idols in terms of sheer talent. The guy can sing and dance and act and do impressions and is a brilliant comedian, and his original characters are some of my favorites. I mean, I was a huge fan of Ed Grimley and all his work on not only Saturday Night Live, but Second City. Just a legend. And last night's show, I thought, was uneven. There were some hits and some misses. But the whole thing for me was worthwhile because it meant the return of Jiminy Glick. And if you're not familiar with who Jiminy Glick is, go online and look, find everything you can. Every interview he's ever done with every celebrity.
I start laughing just thinking of him.
It is the funniest thing to me, maybe anywhere ever.
Just watching him try and pull his leg up to cross.
It's so consistently funny. The character is so wildly awful. And
he based it on a real-life entertainment reporter who always used to interview celebrities and never know anything about them,
Skip
right?
Skip Elo was the name of the guy who used to have a public access show here in Los Angeles. And he was a former child actor and was just enamored with the show business but knew very little about the people he was talking to. And Jiminy Glick is Skip Elo on steroids and about 1,000 donuts. And it is just, it never ceases to amaze me how brilliantly funny it is. And it's all improvised. He will improvise an interview with a celebrity. And he had his own show on Comedy Central for a short while that I thought I was so sad when it went away. And it's just, it's a character he's done a ton of times. He did it live. Actually, Bean and I went to see Martin Short live on Broadway. Mm-hmm. And he does it live on his stage show, too. And it's just so good. Last night, he interviewed Larry David. And as you can imagine, it just was brilliant. And they cut it down to, I don't know, 4 minutes. But I would like to see an 8-hour director's cut of what that conversation was like. If you missed it last night, you can catch it online. But here's a little taste of Jiminy Glick, the great Martin Short, interviewing Larry David about an old show he used to be on called Fridays. It was one of his first big TV breaks. He was on an ABC sketch show called Fridays, and Jiminy brings it up early in the interview.
Tell me about all your different shows. You were on Fridays.
I was, yes. That was a long time ago, yes.
Why was it called Fridays?
Well, because it was just like Saturday Night Live.
But not funny.
But not funny.
Yes. And what did you do on it? Were you a curmudgeon?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't.
Did you rant?
Did I what?
Do one of your rants.
Do I rant, Jiminy?
I think you're always rant. These things are hard to open. Ooh, I can't open them. It's a new rant. People on cell phones, they speak so long, and how come they get to do it?
Oh, it's beautiful. Beautiful thing. So and that was the strongest part of the night. But
and I will tell you that Martin Short is a comedy legend, and it seems like they've had trouble finding the right vehicle for him. He's had a couple of sitcoms.
Show after show.
Haven't been very good, and not because of him, but it's a shame. I'm always happy when he's on my TV.
Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to give you a highlight if you missed it last night because, again, I'm just so enamored with that character in particular, but with Martin Short in general. Let's get him on the show. Let's get him on this show to talk about that show because last night the ratings were not great. And I think they have a 6 or 8 week commitment or something for a summer show. And so I'm sure he would love to have people watch it so we can talk to him about it. But
if Dave were listening, he would be making a note right now to reach out to Mr. Short's people.
He's so asleep. Yeah. So asleep by now.
Dave went to Prophets of Rage last night, and it shows. You know how some people can ignore how tired they are until they get done with work?
Yeah.
Not Dave.
No.
Not Dave.
You guys familiar with with GLOW? Do you remember GLOW from the 80s?
This was women's wrestling?
The Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Sure. Right.
That's what GLOW stood for. Netflix has picked up a comedy series set in the 80s based around the inner workings of the Women's Pro Wrestling League, GLOW, the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Huh.
Premise is a woman who's an out-of-work actress finds her niche as one of the women in the ring with the big hair and the bombastic personality. I used to find it wildly entertaining. I used to watch
it. It was amusing.
It was amusing, yes. So they're going to do a sitcom based on that. So
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
Right? That's a scene from that show. And who's going to replace Michael Strahan on Live? Well, names are being bandied about. Her own husband, Mark Consuelos.
Johnny Asshole.
No, he's not in the running.
He'd be great.
Rob Lowe's name keeps popping up.
Huh.
Hey,
sources say Tay Diggs is also a contender. And maybe just because he followed Kelly on Twitter.
But he follows, I think, close to 400,000 people.
Yeah.
He follows me.
Yeah, I know. He follows me, too.
Which is sad.
It's becoming a joke now. Tay Diggs followed me on Twitter.
Ridiculous.
Hey, guys, seriously, if you're ABC, no matter how much chemistry they have and how personable and likable Kelly Ripa's husband is, do you take that risk? Do you put millions of dollars into a show with people who could divorce?
Bean, she's lost two hosts already. Isn't it less of a risk to think she might not fire her husband and keep him around for a while than giving the axe to Regis and Strahan?
Right, but I just feel like you don't want the risk of them coming in after a bad night together, after a big fight that's going on at home, and then having them have to host a lighthearted daytime chat show. I feel like
and Strahan hated each other, and they're able to put on a happy face.
So she could work with anybody, is what you're saying.
Yes.
All right.
And you have less of an opportunity, I think, for them to split up if they have to. If they're married to each other.
Right. I still say, if Anderson Cooper is willing to walk away from the harder news stuff, he'd be fantastic. I think he'd be great.
But he's so serious, Anderson Cooper. I mean, he never laughs. You never get the sense that he's having a good time or is silly at all.
Never heard him laugh. You're right. Oh.
Anderson, we're trying to talk about live here.
We're giving you a compliment.
Talking about your serious news background. All right? So, Anderson.
Allie, Anderson did have his own daytime talk show for a season, and it wasn't great.
Well, he needs someone to bounce stuff off of.
Yeah, maybe.
Like him with I was going to say Kathy Lee. That's not who it was.
Kathy Griffin
is
their New Year's show is very fun.
One of the greatest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's very fun.
They're so good together, and I think him and Kelly have a very similar relationship. When he guest hosts, it's very enjoyable.
Yeah.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Morgan Freeman, 79 years old today. Rolling Stones guitarist and new dad, Ronnie Wood, celebrates his 69th birthday. Model Heidi Klum is 43. Alanis Morissette is 42. Amy Schumer's 35. Tom Holland, the new Spider-Man. You can see him in Captain America Civil War in his own Spider-Man film, Homecoming, coming out soon. 20 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. And now, a moment with Bean.
But in the spirit of reciprocity.
One more.
You say it.
No, one more. Reciprocity?
Yes, thank you.
That was a moment with Bean.
Look. Lots of people have a word that they have trouble with. I didn't know that was one of mine until I came across it in that copy this morning, but that apparently is one of mine that I can't say. I don't know why. Is this thing on?
And now, a moment with Bean.
But in the spirit of reciprocity.
One more.
You say it.
No, one more. Reciprocity?
Yes, thank you.
That was a moment with Bean.
We're going to take calls from listeners tomorrow, Ralph, on the word that they can't say. I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's one that always trips me up, and there really isn't.
I'm so surprised.
I've mispronounced tons of words tons of times, but there isn't one
that
trigger word
that
every time I hit it, I have a hiccup.
I'm so proud I beat entrepreneur, because you remember for years that was my word. It took a lot of
effort. We got a brand new one, I think.
Yes,
sounds like we have a new one.
You try it right now, Bean.
Yeah.
I can't do it. I don't. Wow. Maybe if I were looking at it, I would do better, but I'm having trouble
like
right
earlier?
Now.
When you were reading it from the paper?
Right. Anyway, that'll be tomorrow. Right now, Ralph's going to take us out here on a Wednesday with a final look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I'm not going to take you out. that's coming down the road, piece. You got a little more time.
We won't know.
You're not going to see it coming. You won't be able to say that. You won't announce it before it happens because it's going to be a
take us out
surprise.
Meeting you to end the show for today.
I'll do
this feature.
Charbroiled! Then I'm just going to open up.
Is that going to be the last word I ever hear on Earth is charbroiled?
Oh, God willing.
All right.
Let me give you something, nice people who listen to this show. Yeah. Can you imagine?
Listening?
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
Oh, I can't either. Imagine how nice the people are who listen to this show. That the constant forgiveness on their part for what we do on a regular basis.
It's sad that so many of their radios are broken.
Yeah, I guess that must be the answer. Yeah. Anyway, we do want to thank you by giving you a little something. I've got passes to a K-Rock advanced screening of a new movie called The Conjuring 2.
Yay!
If you've seen The Conjuring, you know this is just terrifying. Vera Farmiga and Patrick Wilson return as Lorraine and Ed Warren, legendary real-life paranormal investigators, and they're at it again. This time they have to travel to North London to help a single mother who's raising four kids alone in a house. Well, not exactly alone in a house, because there are, oh, I don't know, ghosts!
You are all going to die tonight.
Right? The movie looks just terrifying. The Conjuring 2 opens in theaters everywhere on June the 10th. But we're doing a screening on June 8th at the AMC Burbank. If you'd like to come out and check out The Conjuring 2 before anybody else, give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five people through at that phone number will receive a pair of passes for The Conjuring 2. Amy Schumer's got a new movie in the works. New concept of her film is already funny. It's called Who Invited Her? And it's about a woman who insists on attending her guy's best friend's bachelor party weekend.
Ooh.
So it's her best friend who's a guy. He's going out with the boys for a bachelor party weekend, and she insists on coming along. There's plenty of funny in there, I think, for her to explore.
She was really good in Trainwreck.
Amazing.
Very
and,
funny.
And wrote that, too, by the way.
Yeah, not really funny.
Lose track of the fact that she is a very creative, funny lady. And so I think that's cool. She's already co-starring with Goldie Hawn in an upcoming mother-daughter movie, which will be out on Mother's Day next weekend. So she's a bona fide movie star right
Mother's
now.
Day next year?
Is
that what you meant?
Yes, Mother's Day weekend next year. James Blake is ready to hit the road. He's going to go out and promote his new album, The Color in Anything, and the tour that begins on September 23rd in Dallas. But I want to give people a heads up if they're interested. RollingStone.com says it'll run through October 20th. The final show being here in Los Angeles at the Hollywood Palladium. So if you're a fan, you might want to check that out. Speaking of ticket sales, reportedly Gwen Stefani having a hard time selling tickets to her solo shows.
Uh-oh.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was too. In Touch magazine says her upcoming tour for her solo album, This Is What the Truth Feels Like, is having a hard time moving tickets. Eve is opening all the shows. For example, the opening night is at Xfinity Center in Mansfield, Massachusetts on July 12th. And according to ticket sales, only 30% of the house has been sold so far.
Oh, no.
Around 5,000 tickets in an arena that holds 18,000.
That's a surprise because obviously she's a great entertainer.
Yes.
And she's got a lot of hit records.
I'm stunned that she's having a hard time moving seats.
Maybe she should tour with Blake.
That's a whole new audience.
And show us what else happens out there.
I don't think
right?
we need to see that.
Oh,
have you ever wanted to lick your cat?
Not so much. I'm thinking maybe people feel perhaps Gwen has lost a step in her talents. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard her sing lately. Here's a clip of her in rehearsal for this upcoming tour, and I think they may have something.
Mm-hmm. Look at your watch now. You're a super hot female. You got a $1 million contract, and you're still waiting for your hot track.
Oh, she doesn't sound great. Yeah,
not the way I remember it at all.
I think she needs some more rehearsal.
Yeah.
I keep talking about Martin Short. I apologize, but I love him so much. And we were talking about Jiminy Glick in the last hour. Last night was the premiere of his new show, along with Maya Rudolph, who I also love, in an NBC variety show called Maya and Marty. Here's the thing that you may not know. It's got a very cool theme song that was written by Jack White.
Huh.
Jack White wrote the song for their new show. And he also plays drums on the track. So if you watch that show next week, you will hear Jack White performing on their theme song.
Well, that's very nice, Ralph. It's wonderful to hear your story. I wonder if anyone else cared.
I got dissed by Jiminy Glick.
Yeah, you
that
did.
Is a dream.
Oh,
how
it
good
was.
Is that?
It was.
He needs to come in. Like, he needs to come in maybe next Monday.
We interviewed Martin as Jiminy Glick when he was promoting the Jiminy Glick show on Comedy Central. And part of the deal was he would come on, but he would do it only as Jiminy.
I support that.
And it was a blast, man. It was just so great. All right, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Tom Holland, The new Spider-Man. If you've seen Captain America Civil War, you know how great he's going to be in this role. He almost steals the film with about 15 minutes worth of screen time. It's just brilliant. And he's 20 years old today. Amy Schumer, we were just talking about her. She's 35 years old. Heidi Klum, 43 years old.
What's Taylor Williamson doing for her today? Do we know? Are they still together?
Oh, I think we know.
I think they split up.
Oh,
yeah.
Hope not.
You know, Taylor's a big deal now. He can date up. He doesn't have to slum it.
How old's Heidi?
She's 43.
Yeah, no wonder Taylor let her go.
God, you're the worst.
Ronnie Wood, Rolling Stones guitarist and brand new dad, is 69 years old today.
Actor Morgan Freeman, Visa, it's everywhere you want to be.
He's 79 years old today. And singer Alanis Morissette celebrates her 42nd birthday today. You ought to know what a great performer, singer, and songwriter she is.
Not going to play.
And isn't it ironic that people will talk about her today because of her birthday, and
you're
yet
on your own.
Will overlook her amazing body of work?
You're hanging yourself right
I've
now.
Got one hand in my pocket, and the other hand is just giving a big thumbs up to Alanis Morissette and all the work that she has done
not
over the years.
Play.
Because
not doing it.
I am endlessly fascinated and impressed by her work.
Nope.
Give me a little Alanis. Get a little last trip.
It's not fair to deny me on the plus side fair that you did to me.
I do remember when that was the hottest album in America, the biggest song on K-Rock.
Boy, that was a great tune.
Great stuff.
Dave Coulier, right? Isn't that the myth?
Supposedly,
yeah. Isn't that
the
myth? She wrote that about Dave Coulier.
Yeah.
Who could make Dave Coulier that passionate?
Right?
Right?
That's alleged.
That is alleged.
Who's doing things to him in a movie theater?
That's not all of that.
Okay.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, on your drive home today, be sure to listen to the commercial-free 5 o'clock hour here on K-Rock. It's a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow is going to be an outstanding program, you guys. First of all, the hilarious Jonah Ray, who we love so much and has so much going on, including Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Old Jonah Ray!
He's got a new show that's very funny.
Yes,
called Hidden
he does.
America.
I'm going to say this.
It's a very, very funny show, and he has employed some amazingly talented people to appear in Hidden America.
All right, Ralph's
show
in the Denver
him.
Episode. Great.
What?
I'm
on that
say,
show?
You are in
I'm
it,
stunned.
And you're great. I have watched all of them, and it is one of the funniest shows I've ever seen.
Wow.
Ever.
Wow.
It is so good. It's
true.
So
I'm not
good.
Saying this because I'm involved. It's truly funny. And if you are a fan at all, or even a casual viewer of all those sort of Anthony Bourdain type travel cooking shows or whatever, it's just a pitch perfect spoof on all those kind of shows.
And Ralph, you were brought into service for the Denver episode because of your lifelong association with Denver.
Although you're trying to poo-poo it, Bean, I'll have
I'm
you know.
I'm just curious how it happened.
That I am a man of range.
Right?
I can,
could see
I can play an angry person from the East Coast. I can play an angry person from the West Coast.
Okay.
I can play an angry person from almost anywhere in these great United States of ours.
Jonah Ray on the program tomorrow. Also, we'll talk sports with Jim Rome like we do on Thursdays. Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us tomorrow. And how about this? New music and an interview with Beck. Beck is stopping by on the program. His new song is called Wow. Can't wait to hear that. Can't wait to catch up with Beck. That's all tomorrow morning right here on the world-famous K-Rock.